The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Well, come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday we read of events which happened when Jesus was baptized. Let me help you recall what we read. John was baptizing in the Jordan River, very close to where it runs into the Dead Sea. And there are very high cliffs on both sides, but the water's fairly deep at that point. And Jesus went into the water as people do who are immersed all the way in. And as he was coming up, having been baptized by John, a noise came from heaven. We would assume it's thunder or something like that. But at any rate, some people said it wasn't just thunder. It was actually God's voice, which said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And Luke tells us that a dove even flew over, and the dove is always the symbol of peace and of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was much impressed by this holy thing, and he decided he had to go and ponder it. And he went up the hill and over the top into what's called the Jewish wilderness, the Judean wilderness. Now, wilderness is an area that has no distinct landmarks. There are no roads. There are no street signs. Your GPS wouldn't work. Okay? And it all looks alike. And it goes on for miles and miles and miles as far as you can see. And we are told that he stayed in the wilderness for the indefinite Jewish period of 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was there, he was tempted of Satan. Liturgically, we have saved that for the first Sunday in Lent. We're going to hear that whole story in Lent. But the point is that when Jesus was finished with those 40 days, he began to formulate some plans about his ministry, which we believe lasted 3 more years. Next Sunday, you will be reading about how Jesus walked down the beach and the fishermen had their boats out of the water and they were mending their nets and getting ready for the next catch. And how Jesus went up to, first he went to Andrew and Simon, who Jesus called Peter, or the rock, Rocky. And he said, "Follow me. We have a thing to do together." And then he went down the beach a little further where John and James were also helping their father Zebedee, and he said, come on, let's go. Today's the day. And now this morning, according to our story, after that experience, he met up with a man named Philip. And Philip happened to be from the same town as Andrew and Simon Peter. And Philip also had a friend named Nathanael. Now in Mark, Luke, and Matthew, this man is referred to probably as Bartholomew. John is the only one who calls him Nathanael. And in tradition, he's the only one of the apostles that has two names, you know, Charles Summers, not just Charles, Charles Summers, Nathanael Bartholomew, the son of Ptolemy. That's what that meant. Anyway, and Philip, as I say, was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found his friend Nathanael and said, we found the one about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, the Messiah. We found the Messiah. You've got to come and meet him. And Nathanael said, where's he from? He said, he's from Nazareth. Now, Nathanael knew his Bible backward and forward. He said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? There's nothing in the Bible about Nazareth. And Philip said, well, you come and meet him, and you judge for yourself. And so that's the way it went from there. Now, I don't know about you, but it always bothered me, since we teach our children not to talk to strangers, and we have been raised that way, we just don't break into conversations unless it's a little awkward in the beginning. That Jesus could say to those fishermen, hey, you, and you, let's go. And they just got up and left everything. That's not the way the world works. But fortunately, John, who was one of these people, always gives us in his gospel account the details. And I always think back to the first when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with a boy's lunch. You remember that? And Jesus turned and now all the four gospels say that this happened. 5,000 people, a very small amount of food, usually described as 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or as probably more accurately, 5 loaves and 2 little jars of fish paste. You know, like jelly, you spread it on your bread, that kind of thing. At any rate, and Jesus said, in that case, to Philip, he said, okay, Philip, how are we going to do this? And Philip got out his computer, and he said, if we had 200 denarii, and there was a store, which there isn't, we still couldn't do it. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, came and said, well, now, wait a minute. There's a boy that brought his lunch. He has 5 loaves and 2 little jars of fish paste. That's all we have to work with. And Jesus said, sit down. And he multiplied that, so that 5,000 people were fed by that small amount of food. But you see the contrast between Nathanael or Philip and Andrew. Andrew says, well, this is what we've got. And Philip said, can't be done. All matter of attitude. Was that way then? It's still that way today. Now, John tells us that there was a big conversation between Andrew and John because they were students of John the Baptizer. And they kind of got together what we would call in Christian tradition a Bible study on a regular ongoing basis. And on 2 occasions at the end of the lesson, as they were leaving the place where they were meeting, a man walked by, and John the Baptizer said, you see that fellow over there? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. And that person was Jesus. The second time John Baptist pointed Jesus out, Andrew and John went to Jesus and said, "Sir, can we talk to you?" And we are told by John that they talked from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till supper time, maybe 2 hours. And they really got to know Jesus. And both of these men were so impressed that they went back and told their brothers, "You gotta meet this guy. He's the Messiah. He's the promised anointed Messiah that we've all been looking for." And so you have that background so that when Jesus said to them on the beach, "Let's go," they were ready. They had lots of buildup to that point. One other thing about Philip. Philip said, called him a man whom you can trust. And Philip said, "You don't know me. How do you know you can trust me?" He said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." What was Philip doing under the fig tree? He was reading his Bible. People who read the Bible every day, what do you say about them? "I think you can trust them." Right? And so at any rate, so Philip was so impressed that he said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these. You'll see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You ain't seen nothing yet." So, we have all these wonderful personalities and some information to make them come alive for us 21 centuries after the events. Which all brings us to what the theme of today is: how does a fellowship grow? It grows when the members of a fellowship do what these disciples did: tell each other, tell their friends, testify. And that's so hard for Episcopalians to stand up and say, "You got to come and meet the Lord." That's our Baptist friends who talk like that, you know. It's not us. We're English, you know, and we don't like to put on a show. So at any rate, but the fact of the matter is that fellowship is built one person at a time. And when you leave here and you tell, you say, I heard a great sermon, or I read the psalm, or whatever, and you tell them how you feel about your relationship with Jesus, and they say, "Come and see." That's the difference. That's what breaks the whole thing. Now, the other thing we need to remember from today's readings is Psalm 139. Because it speaks about your relationship and my relationship with God Almighty. We see as God as leaning far off. The psalmist says, "No way." The relationship you have and that I have with God is very, very close. "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You discern my strengths from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. You press, indeed, there's not a word on my lips, but you know it. You press upon me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me saying, 'Good boy, keep going. You're doing fine. You're doing, keep trying. Don't give up.' For you have created me even before I was born. In my inner parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." That's how far back God knows you. When you were just that big. "And my body was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs yet unfinished in the womb. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they'd be more than the sand on the sea. My lifespan would need to be like yours, centuries, eons, instead of just a few years. So you see, my friends, God isn't far off. God is here. God lives within you in the power of the Spirit. As the breath of life keeps you breathing, so God continues to lay his personal hand upon you and take an interest in you and you and you and me. And when we understand this, and when we get that joy of feeling how close we are with God, we need to share it with others who are not close. And that, my friends, is how the fellowship grows. If I were to count all your gifts, it would be more the number than the sand of the sea. God is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's not just a song, it is a reality. Amen.